Final point.
Hallelujah. And took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way.
Well, greetings, folks. This is Glorious Day. I'm Pastor David, and I'm with
Pastor Barry.
Yes. Oh, what a pleasure it is. We've been having so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Recording these programs. We do three at a time. I mean, not all at the same time, obviously.
I wish you could hear what goes on between the recordings.
Oh. Well, some of it anyway.
We have a lot of fun.
Yeah. And we do themes, you know, every week. And so the theme for this program is, now you got to listen close, and some of you are going to hear a word, and you're going to say, uh-oh, I forgot. I have something on the stove. I have to go and I'll, you know, and yes. You won't ever listen to the on-demand. All mm-hmm. right, here it is. We are made in God's image. God is a giver. What does your giving look like?
Mm.
Mm. And my brother is going to read a verse from Luke chapter 6.
Verse 38.
And we've heard this several times.
Yes,
in
we
several
have.
Venues.
This will sound very familiar to you.
Yeah.
Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Now, we're not just talking, you know, we got to, first of all, for those that are still listening, we're not going to try to reach into your wallet and extract all your cash. Although giving of resources, material resources, is part of this whole
mm-hmm.
picture of giving. But we start with, we say we're made in God's image. God is a giver.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's start with God made the whole universe. Okay. And all of that came from God before we were even here.
Mm-hmm.
He made that first. And then, you know, over, because now once the universe was there, there was time, right? God didn't have time. He still lives outside of time, but we have time.
Mm-hmm.
So over time in the universe, he made everything else. And that, if that does not point to the fact that God is a giver, see, because he even gave you.
He gave
right?
you, and he gave you air to breathe, and
yes.
liquid to drink, and food to eat, and beauty. Gave us the beauty that we live in this world.
Amen. Because everything that you see, hear, taste, smell, and touch
mm-hmm.
is from God. He made it. He's allowing you to use some of it, but it's still his. He hasn't transferred the title. You know, you might buy a car, you get the title if you pay for it, when you pay for it, but everything belongs to God. This is a tough concept for us to grasp
mm-hmm.
because we live, you know, as people in a material world. Is I work hard, and I have worked hard, and Barry's worked hard, and I know our listeners have worked hard. And you acquire things,
mm-hmm.
and they're mine, you know. And, okay, you are allowed to possess them, you know. And, in fact, there are several laws that apply to possess. What is a possession is 9/10 of the law.
That's right.
So that, you know, it's important. The law protects you in that. But when you think about it, you know, what you did to acquire even what you were given to acquire, you didn't make. God made that.
No, go out and try and make dirt.
Yeah, right. That's a great story on the internet about that.
Yeah.
Go out and try to make your own dirt. It's not, well, yeah, you can get some rocks and pound them until you have dirt, but who made the rocks? God did.
There you go.
There's really no way if you think about it. So, but now getting back to, we are made in the image of God. That's in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, God, we want to recognize those things that are a part of who we are that reveal God in the world. And, you know, I mean, some of that, I know people who are not believers, and yet some of the things they do, I can see God working
mm-hmm.
because they give too,
mm-hmm.
maybe not as generously as God may want them, but they give. But it's not just money. Again, it's a giving of time.
That's a biggie, David, right there.
Now, because, I know you're involved in feeding the homeless.
Well, time has its own currency.
Yeah.
You're so limited in the time you have. So the people that do take the extra time instead of watching a football game or soccer or whatever they're into, and it's not easy because we all work.
Yeah.
And by the end of the week, you're tired.
Mm.
So the thought of giving up one or two of your days off, on the surface, sounds like a pretty tough idea. But in reading this, you're going to be given so much back from the time that you've given.
Yeah.
It's not just money.
No, no.
It's time. It's effort. It's a little sweat equity, if you will.
Yeah.
Sweating for God. There you go. You know,
Sounds like a t-shirt.
There's a local pastor who does have the feeding ministry, and when I first met him, I said, "Oh, you have a dirty fingernails ministry."
Yeah.
He said, "What's that?" I said, "Your love in your church is a verb. You're moving. You're doing.
Right.
You're not just saying it." And you know, I've noticed, David, with some of the younger folks, as they begin their faith walk, their journey, they seem to get more out of physically laboring for God than perhaps a sermon.
Yeah.
They want to feel, touch, you know, the tactile faith, I guess you might call it, where they're actually seeing people, God's people in need.
Yeah.
And they're able to be an agent of God to help relieve some of the pain and suffering.
Yes.
And that's very meaningful to them. And I've actually been there to pray with them and say, "Hey, you know, if you think about it, you're going to see the eyes of Jesus Christ looking back at you when you're filling up their car with food."
Yeah.
And, you know, it's well worth the 4, 5, 6 hours on a Saturday getting your hands dirty.
It's giving in the name of Jesus. It's frightening in the beginning to think about it. But once you've experienced it, really, it's hard to go back. You know, well, sure. I remember when my wife and I first came to Christ back in near the end of the year 1976. Some of you were alive then to remember.
Gee, David, you were just 5 years old.
I was
then.
Just 5 years old, but I was advanced for my age.
Already married and everything.
Already. Yeah, well, you know, you had to get permission from so many people. No, I was in my my mid-20s, let's say. I was 26. I'm 76, okay. So soon after we met the Jesus, and, you know, in the very beginning, you know, there was a lot of excitement. There still is. But there was also, you know, questions to be asked. And one Sunday, our associate pastor preached on tithing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, up until then, you know, because I hadn't really gotten into the Word and, you know, was still a brand new Christian. I mean, there's so many things you don't know about.
Right, right.
That are part of, you know, what the God's expectation for you and biblical imperatives, if you will. And so he preached on tithing. And both my wife and I kind of looked at each other, you know, and said, "Oh, we got to deal with this now," you know, because we, in 76, I mean, we were okay.
Right.
We're both working, you know, working people for our money, but to think of 10%, and so I called him Monday, the next day, which I think was of God, because normally he took Mondays off, and I didn't even think about it, you know, because after Sunday, it's quite an expenditure of spiritual and emotional and physical energy,
because
there were three services on a Sunday in this church. So anyway. And I said, "This tithing thing," I said, "tell me more about it." I said, is it before or after taxes? Or I was trying to wiggle room.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
He said that as the Bible talks about it, it's first fruits, and which means, like, for instance, going back to Cain and Abel, right? And Abel gave the first fruits of his produce of the land to God as an offering. And of course, we know what Cain did is, you know, fuller sweepings, right? You know, the limping lambs and all that stuff, that's he gave because he was not into it. But so it's the first fruits. And so how he had described it to me, he said, when you get paid, You know, and of course, then as now, the paycheck you get is less because there's Medicare, there's taxes, there's all this stuff that comes out. And so I said, oh, well, so it's 10% of what's left. He said, no, first fruits means it comes off the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the gross. Well, that was a concept that, I mean, so I said, I thanked him and I was shaking. And he said, before we hung up, he said, try it, pray about it and try it for a month. And he said, if it doesn't work for you, then go back to whatever you're putting in, $5, you know, or maybe an old sandwich in the plate on. So it was something, you know, just, and then don't worry about it. Okay, you've tried, it failed.
Wise man. He's a wise man.
So, yeah, well, you know, so it's 46, 47 years later, we're still tithing.
Right.
And then above that is offerings, because above the tithe, there's additional giving if you feel God calling you to do that, which we do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you talked, and then people hearing this, some of you listeners are going to say, what? You know, how can you expect me? It's hard enough as it is. You know, well, God does promise that when you serve him and do what he says, that he will support you and sustain you.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got a story that I wanted. I'm not sure I've told it before, but I'll tell it again. But before I tell the story,
mm-hmm.
my brother Barry over here is just bursting with stuff that he wants. I can just see it. And so, because he's a giver too, he wants to give you some really cool truth. So I'm going to ask you, brother, to share that, and then I'll get back to my story.
I think you need to remember this. It's all God's anyway. It's his money.
Starts with his. You never,
it's all his. It's all his. Not too long ago, God said, Barry, I want you to find an office space for your group, your Benedictine group. And I said, huh? Because I have a lot going on in my life. And I kind of was ducking under the radar. I'm confessing to you, David.
I understand. Well, you know, for old guys, we have a lot going on, bro.
Yeah, we do. And I tithe, but I've been resisting that. It's my human nature because I'm getting older now. I'm thinking, well, I should probably put a little bit away, you know, and care for my wife and things like that. But anyway, if you resist and you're avoiding God, he can be very, very persistent, David. And he said, trust me. Trust me. And so I dug a little deeper. I looked around and I found a space. And the original quote for the space was much more than I can afford.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot more than 10%.
Yeah, I hear
that. But when I explained what it would be used for, the rent was pretty much cut down in half and included electricity and water. And that's when I realized, well, God's got a plan for this place. Who am I to stand in the way?
Yeah.
And long story short is we got the space and we have a place for our people to meet and discuss their ministries and bring newer people in who want to serve God. And But I felt separated for a while from God by resisting that. And that's the feeling you get when you say no or that's too much. You know, my first responsibility is to my family. And we come up with a lot of excuses, a lot of reasons and rationales of why that 10% is too high. But I tell you what, David mentioned something when he was talking about above and beyond the 10%.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're talking money.
Yeah.
Since I followed through with this office space and followed through and just submitted and said, okay, let's do this. Several things have happened in my financial life, a little surprise here and there financially. By the way, Barry, we forgot to tell you, but you're getting a raise.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
And Barry, you're getting a bonus check.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, well, how much? And the bonus check is equal to or greater than the rent. And so that's a God thing. You know, he's saying, listen, you know, you're trusting me. Good. I'm going to give back to you and more of what you're giving to me.
Amen.
And that's kind of the deal. That's the deal.
But none of us should look at it as like an investment opportunity.
Oh, no. But it's the love of God giving you back for, you know, for trusting him.
Well, didn't we say in the beginning that we're made in the image of God, and God is a giver.
Mm-hmm.
And if we respond by being givers in the way the Spirit guides us, keep that in mind, Spirit guides us, because you can't give to everything that comes your way. I mean, you would be broke. You know, you'd be on the other end. Hoping you'd find an agency that someone is giving to so that you can, you know, but the point is that giving, it's a holistic approach. It's not just money, but that's part of it.
Part of it.
It's not just your time, but that's part of it. It's not just your heart, but that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's a whole package that involves the whole of your life, of which part is a material giving that God provides to you. And frankly, it's about time that the people of God recognized just how rich God's giving is to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the sun rising every day. You know, well, I'm 71. How many suns have I seen rise? Yeah. But still, it's a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift to us. And so, but yeah, oftentimes, the way in which we recognize that we are responding to God's call to give, because frankly, it's one of those commands that we talk about that are in the Bible that God expects us to do.
Right.
And so I really want our listeners to be prayerful and ask God. I mean, you know, and you can drop our names, Pastor Barry, Pastor David, we're suggesting that we tithe. God, what do you think about that? Do that.
Do that.
Go to him. You know, but do be honest and do that. But that's the part that hits us the most. You know, we'll volunteer a little time sometimes, maybe not.
When it doesn't hurt,
yeah.
Right?
But yeah. I also want to say, look, people, and I know people, they don't have much. They're retired. They've been living on fixed income.
Mm-hmm.
Social Security, maybe a tiny pension. Maybe they have a little part-time job. And so they... they'll go to the church and they'll give of their time. And time is money. So we always say that in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to tell even you people listening to me that if that's why you're not putting any, not tithing, you need to go to God too and say, God, you want me to step out in faith and start putting some money forward? And, you know, if God says do it, then do it. Everything is risky. When it comes to serving God, or it seems that way to us.
To us, yeah.
Now, I want to tell my story now.
Hey, David, you have a story to tell.
I do.
Go for it.
Yeah, and I love that Barry and I have so many stories. That's one of the benefits of living as long as we have.
Uh-huh.
But, okay, I'll try to put it in a nutshell. About 12 years ago, mm-hmm. I was serving as an associate pastor in a very good-sized church in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my years of experience and the size of the church and all the demands that were put on me, my financial package was quite substantial too for a pastor. Most pastors are, you know, the average pastor doesn't get paid, you know, a nice sizable salary and benefits, car allowance and stuff like this. That is the heavy in the five. You know, five figures to the left of the decimal, way up almost near six figures. Okay,
oh,
so you get an idea. It was a lot of money.
Yeah,
and so what happened? And this has been God working on me. Is that particular denomination of which I was ordained in had over the decades sort of turned their back on God? They turned away from the gospel. They weren't preaching the gospel. It was all politics and all this stuff. They were grabbing, you know, they were riding the merry-go-round of the culture.
Right.
And the culture was coming into the church nationally. And
the world crept in.
World crept in.
Yeah.
And then after it crept in, after a while, started making noise, saying, here we are, and you need to follow us. So anyway, to make a long story short, is that began to bother me, and it took me several years and a lot of praying and again, preaching the gospel despite all of that and dealing with that. But finally, the Lord said it's time to leave this whole denomination. And that, for me, and we had been tithing and being faithful and offerings and all that time. Now, suddenly, God was saying to me, wants you to turn your back on this very nice, cushy job with all the money.
Right.
And I want you to go to another denomination that I've showed you as a place. They're being faithful. Similar worship styles and all that, but they're God-honoring, gospel-preaching people.
Okay.
And so I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and before I did that, though, God gave me a promise, and he had me read the 23rd Psalm. And if you remember, it's six verses, but whew, a lot of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one thing about, behold, they set a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's verse 4 or 5, I think. Anyway, and so he hammered that in, and I got this vision after I decided to go and given my notice. I got this vision, and in the vision, myself, my wife, my daughter, and Jesus were on a wide open plain like you'd find in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a picnic table right there groaning with food. And across this field, you could see dust rising from the hooves of horses.
Ooh.
You know, the old movies where
they're on their way.
You know, the spears, the swords, the armies faced each other.
Uh-huh.
And it was the devil and his army. And the clear that God was saying, you know, the devil doesn't want you to be successful in this. They're going to come and conquer you, make you afraid. But I'm not going to let that happen because he promised he would take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, keep in mind that, and my wife was the only one working then,
mm-hmm.
and she wasn't making nearly as much as I was. So we had I'll go ahead and say it, we had an $85,000 hole in our budget that happened overnight, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I get this vision, and then suddenly you see that horde of demons start to drive their horses across the plain, and you see the plumes of dust, big clouds of dust rising as they're getting closer and closer. And, you know, in the vision, you know, and I'm feeling that, you know, but I'm looking at Jesus, and he's just standing there with a little smile on his face, you know, and and they finally get to the point you can see their eyes, their glowing demonic eyes. I mean, seriously, this was
yeah.
And the swords are rattling and the spears are ready to throw those things. And it was just the hoof beats of the horses just was deafening. And they get to maybe 30 feet away and Jesus puts up his hand, his right hand in the air. And immediately all the horses stop. They, you know, you can almost hear the horse hoofs screeching on the dirt, you know, as they mm-hmm. stop. And they can't advance because of Jesus.
Amen.
And then he gestures to the picnic table. In other words, sit down and eat. And mm-hmm. we did. And in that vision, it was such a powerful attempt that I still get Holy Spirit bumps because Jesus has kept his promise. We did what he said.
Mm-hmm.
And we never suffered any financial loss. Money came in, I mean, from places you would never have expected it to come in.
Ah.
And then ultimately, and this was in the season before I went to work for hospice, so it was about a year there.
Right.
And then my wife lost her job.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a part of that, some months in there, when nobody was working in our home.
Hmm.
And again, no bill went unpaid. No, we didn't starve. In fact, I even had to join Weight Watchers because I was at least. So here was, you know, I mean, seriously, what I'm saying is that, and it's not because I'm super special, more so than you,
right,
or Barry or anybody else. It's because I'm a common everyday believer who listened to God and just said, okay, God, you're a giver. We've been giving as best we can. We haven't been perfect, but we've been giving, trying to honor that call, that biblical imperative. And God, throughout our lives, will make sure we always have not just what we need, because God is not into survival.
No.
It's the abundance of life. And that's what this verse from Luke says, that give, and it will be given to you. Money, peace, joy, happiness, friends, communities of worship, you know, sunrises, flowers, I mean, you know, whatever, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured into your lap. For For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And what I learned is just trust God. Put him, yes, put him to the test. We're not supposed to, you know, test God in several senses, but God says, try me.
Try me is a good way of putting that, David.
Try me.
Just try me.
Yeah.
It's almost like it's more than an invitation. It's kind of like a dare.
Yeah.
You know, you think I'm going to let you just, you know, cut you loose, take your money, rob you? No. No, this is our Heavenly Father we're talking about.
But I think when we don't tithe, it's a sense of robbing God. And
yeah, that's right.
That came home to me
because
it is a command. You know, and as one pastor said to me early on, or I think maybe it was the associate pastor I talked to originally about tithing, he said, look, God asked for 10%. You know, you get to keep 90. And he said, that 10%, but God doesn't need the money, but his ministries do.
Mm-hmm.
Because how else are they going to do what they have to do? They live
That's
in
right.
the world. They need material goods. They need to pay people sometimes, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, but it, anyway, it just, I don't want to belabor the point, although I may have already done that. But just to say, giving, not just of money, although that's the most critical thing for all of us. Once we get over that, it's giving of our time, giving back to God. What is prayer all about? But reestablishing a relationship with God in prayer. Giving of our time to study the Word so that we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit for the purpose of being edified, being illuminated, being taught, you know.
I think of when Jesus was sitting at the temple watching the people giving their tithes and the widow with her little mite tossed in her little cheap copper coin in there. That may have been all she had.
It was, yeah, that was all she had.
All she had. And yet, you know, it pleased Jesus to see that. God is pleased when you go that extra mile, overcome your fears, overcome your distress, and it's God pleasing.
It
really is.
He loves to see his children trust him.
Mm-hmm.
And that widow, all she had,
mm-hmm.
you know, how was she going to get food to survive the next day? Well, God was going to provide, you know. Whereas all the other, you know, the Pharisees and all them folks behind her, you know, I mean, one Pharisee comes in, he throws the keys to his Lamborghini in that thing.
That's right.
Well, that's one of three Lamborghinis he bought that week, you know, because they have all this money and they weren't giving out of their substance.
I didn't know they had Lamborghinis back then.
They're more like made out of wood.
Oh, wood.
Didn't they start with carts and stuff? Anyway, yes. We have to go, but...
Oh, I want to talk about the Lamborghini.
I know. Next time, maybe we'll do a Lambo story. You want to offer a little prayer, brother?
I would love to. Holy Father, we're so grateful to you for this time, for being able to minister to your people out there, to maybe bring the word to someone who desperately needs to hear it.
Yes.
And Lord, you are a giver indeed. You've given us so much that there are times when we forget just how much you have given our families and us, and we take a moment right now to say thank you.
Yes, Lord.
And the word thank you just runs so shallow, but we say thank you and we're grateful. We learned about first fruits, Lord, when we watched your only son given to us on the cross. Given that to meditate on, to pray about, Lord, we thank you for our very lives.
Amen.
Through Christ we pray, amen.
Amen. Have a good week. Talk to you next week.
Bless you.
Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word.
That we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified.
And receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move.
And his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.
Days of my life, I want to gaze upon your beauty and seek you in this holy place. days. Could you sing that with me? All the days of my life, I want.